it's like to be on the bill and to play for 15 minutes, and the only people there to see you are the other bands and their girlfriends.
From Buffalo, New York, it's the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
Welcome to episode 100 of the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast here from the Guitar Factory in Orchard Park. I am your host, Ryan Gurnett. Cassidy, what's something that you've done at least 100 times?
Walked around with lipstick on my teeth, I would think. I can say that confidently.
Congratulations.
Yes.
All right. On episode 100 of the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast, we're going to be joined by longtime scene veteran Brandon Delmont. Brandon plays in A House Safe for Tigers. He performs with numerous Beatles cover acts, and he was in my favorite 90s local band, Girl Pope.
Oh. We'll talk about a life spent in the Buffalo music scene, weird things you've had to deal with in the Western New York music scene, be it record theater or playing in different acts, what's coming up for you in your future. We're also going to play some new music from A House Safe for Tigers and Son Scotty. Also, we're going to play a game of Girl or Pope.
Oh.
But first.
That's pathetic. Oh, no.
I'm hoping for episode 101 we'll have a sound machine for you again.
We might.
So first off, I'm really excited. WesternNewYorkMusic.com has met its fundraising goal. We have raised $1,200. The website can become a nonprofit that's going to focus on being a community resource for students and other people interested in getting involved with the local entertainment industry. I started doing this at the beginning of the year. I hope to have it done by the end of the year. I had it done with 2 months to spare.
Well, congratulations.
So I want to thank all the people who helped donate, all the people who've either played our fundraisers or who came to them, and everyone else. And, it's exciting.
I was going to bring confetti poppers for this episode. Remember? We talked about it.
We gave away the poppers as a prize to Nick from Gimme Gimme.
I know. I hope he's using those poppers. Use the poppers.
Yeah, Nick.
But out of respect for our lovely hosts here at Guitar Factory, probably wouldn't be the best idea.
Yeah.
To set off a bunch of confetti.
We'll save that for episode 200.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. I got to check out a really cool place in Lockport. It's called Art 24/7.
There are cool places in Lockport?
There are cool places in Lockport.
No, I heard there are more cool places. Yes?
It's at 247 Market Street in Lockport.
Okay.
It is one of those art usage community center kind of places. It has a gallery space. It has space to create. It has a gift shop.
And so you were there for an art opening?
I was there for a job interview.
I see.
Whoa. Now, they had an event coordinator / planner position I applied for, so I went in there. But in addition to the visual art stuff they're doing, they want to start doing music.
Music is art.
Exactly. Music, theater, like all those extra areas of entertainment. So,
what is the space like?
It's this old warehouse, and there's just these huge rooms all over the place. Like, there's so much extra space. Like, they have at least probably 15 giant rooms there, and, like, half the building's not even developed yet.
Right.
So, like, it's going to be a big, big place for stuff, and we're hoping maybe to do some shows. So, hopefully they call me back. But even if not, like, that's
sounds
a place.
Sounds like you're hired.
Excited about it.
Yeah. So, we'll see.
I hope so.
And then the last thing, I got to play in Bad Ronald.
Okay.
That was really fun.
Where were you?
It was at Molly Maguire's in South Buffalo. So Greg Sterlace, who's the singer of the band, he's has some health issues. So
And Pam is in the band.
Yes, so I practiced with them.
Pam Schwartz.
Yeah. I practiced with them, but I didn't practice with Greg. So I got one practice in, and then I got to the show. I was talking with Greg Sterlace for 20 minutes before I realized that he was the singer of the band I was playing in that night.
Awesome.
And I thought that was fantastic. Those guys, I honestly wasn't familiar with the music at all going in, but it's really fun. It's like a Ramones-y with an art edge to it. It was all really fun stuff, but as a bass player, like, one of the songs was C to C sharp, and that's it. So C to C sharp, C to C sharp, C to C sharp. I can get into that kind of thing.
It's creative.
It's nice. It's nice having something simple. Like, especially as a bass player, I'm used to, like, making up, like, big convoluted bass lines and stuff, and it's nice actually being able to just, like, play something kind of simple.
Right.
So I think I'm going to be playing with them some more in the future. So I'm, like, really looking forward to doing that. And, it was a ton of fun.
Bassist for hire.
No, Dan Gregg, he did the, he had like a cable show or something.
He had the Greg Sterling show on...
Cable Access.
Yes. Cable Access, yep.
Right. It was always fun to watch.
Yeah, it's, well, so Pam Swartz took it over, I don't know how many years ago. It's been a little while.
See, I don't have cable anymore, and that's a shame.
Oh, you can find it on YouTube.
Oh.
And everything's on YouTube.
Of course.
And Greg Sterling, I don't know if he has any involvement at all in the show, but if as long as they keep the name, they keep their, like, they get, like, number one priority slot on public access as long as they keep the name. So it's the Greg Sterling show,
that, she's the
hosted by Pam Swartz.
Okay.
Yeah, I went completely off the wall when I was on there, and I just started calling everyone Greg Sterling. I'm like, well, if you're not Greg Sterling, you have to be Greg Sterling. You're not Greg Sterling either? Then this is stuffed duck Greg Sterling?
Last time I saw Greg Sterling was in the Kenmore Library, which I believe he works at.
And he
recommended, I think it was an MC5 book.
That sounds like him.
And, yeah, anyway, which was good. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Greg. If you do look on YouTube, you can find, if you look for the Greg Sterling show and Poos the Puppet, Poos was this batshit insane part of Infringement Festival last summer, and then he ended up going on to Pam's show, where they both shared their creepy baby doll collection, and I haven't watched it yet. I'm only assuming it's just fucking crazy, so check that out.
Yeah.
Great. All right, so first, a word from our sponsor. Ironworks.
Ta-da!
A great place to go and watch some shows. So, a few things coming in December to Ironworks. December 1st, Corey Feldman.
No way.
Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was still alive.
It says.
Yeah.
Corey Feldman.
Go and see Corey Feldman while he's still with us.
Well, I mean, yeah, no, it's not laughable. I wonder if he'll be pulling out, like, some political message with his music, or if he's...
Yeah, he's... I watched, I thought... And well, he looks great, I think.
On the outside.
I watched someone posted his video of his new song, and I thought it was an old video because, A, he was still doing the Michael Jackson thing.
Okay.
Kind of. Not as much, but it was still kind of there. And the song was just awful.
Oh, my God. So he has his 2013 autobiography is called Choreography, which makes me want to punch myself in the face. And meet and greet tickets, $120.
Oh.
Right. Somebody's
like
going to pay
deal.
For that? Yeah.
Somebody.
I mean, even as a guy.
Somebody
gift,
would be better off giving me
$50
to hit them in the face.
Goonies is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh,
that's the problem.
I might go and see this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. And it's $25 day of show. I might go because of the spectacle. I'm not paying $120 for a meeting.
$20 pre-sale seems very reasonable as
yes.
a Thursday night, something to do. Ironworks, go
yes.
check it out.
Yes.
For sure. I mean, you're going to pay more if you go to the movies.
Yep, absolutely.
Right?
And this is going to be a unique performance.
It will be
a one-of-a-kind showing of Corey Feldman.
I
so
think it's a great venue for that type of an
yeah, event. I might go check it out. If it's I might be able to make it that night. So that is Thursday, December 1st. You can get tickets at buffaloironworks.com. And the other thing I want to talk about, they're having a silent disco for New Year's Eve.
Right.
I thought that's really cool. They're going to...
Yeah, silent disco, three-channel silent disco.
So it's a three-channel
similar
silent disco.
How they do it at Music is Art in the silent disco space.
Absolutely. So,
what does that mean,
so,
three-channel?
So they give you a set of headphones, and the headphones can tune into three different channels.
So you might be dancing to Donna Summer.
Exactly.
And I might be dancing to the Silver Connection.
And usually they'll keep the headphones the same color, so the people who are listening to the same thing know.
So you do know that you're on a different
who the cool kids are and who the not cool kids are.
Yeah.
That helps you delineate, right?
I see.
And then
the
different channels, there's one for electronic dance music, there's one for hip-hop, and there's one for top 40/throwbacks.
So
which
I've never heard
so
anything like...
No disco music.
Which I've never heard like top 40 throwbacks
disco
before.
Disco, sans...
Dancing.
Okay.
It's dancing.
Disco.
They
Sorry.
Should just call it dancing. Silent dance.
You could probably tell by all the comments I've made how old I am.
No, this is great.
Our viewers probably don't know either.
There should be a silent roller disco there, but I guess that's a whole other level.
If you can find a way to make the wheels silent, you're onto something.
Well, I mean, yeah, you wouldn't hear the wheels. You got your headphones on.
The whole idea is when you're just like watching it, though, it's silent if you're not there.
Oh.
I'm sorry. These are the rules of silent disco, and we must follow them. what I'm really excited about is the decoration's going to be done by Jeremiah Schmeling. Okay. He's worked with Infringement for a few years. He has an act called Retronoid. He makes this gorgeous, like, blue and black light art, plus this glowing stuff. One of our producers, John Galbo, he uses a lot of his artwork in his show and stuff. So if Jeremiah is the guy who's setting up that stuff, it is going to look so cool.
And it's cool that New Year's Eve falls then on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
So you've got a audience hopefully able to go out and hang out and do these things till in the morning.
I like that idea too. I don't think enough bands think about their background or what their stage looks like.
Oh, absolutely. No, I think one of the things I find myself commonly saying is that, you know, music's great, but if you're trying to get people's attention, sometimes you need a little more than that.
Yeah.
And certainly what Jeremiah is doing counts as that. So yeah, you can get tickets for that. It's $15 in advance, 20-day a show, also at buffaloironworks.com. And now we're going to play a song, and then we're going to get back to it. This is a wrap. What? Do you have something to say?
I wanted to say the other exciting thing that's happening at Ironworks next month. Because Sun Squabby is playing there as well.
Yes.
On the 7th, was it?
On December 7th, yes.
December 7th. I'd mention it because I know a lot of younger than me people who go out and it's like dance party, dance party, dance party. Sun Squabby played with Too Many Zoos and Witty Tarbox was the local opener last year in June on the waterfront for that concert series. And I think that that would also be a very good time.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're up for dancing around.
Hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Kind of like a horn-driven kind of dance.
Nice.
But everything's getting a little bit more lively. I'm glad that, you know, there aren't as many tracked things and more analog dance music. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Dance music's so much better when you've got a band doing it.
And you got some live horns.
Feeling the groove, feeding off the crowd.
It's
absolutely.
Nothing like a live band. Nothing.
Yeah. All right. So,
on to the next thing.
Yes. So now we're going to play a song. It's called Not Afraid. It's by Sun Scotty. He's a brand new rapper. He does the I'm Not Afraid sound clip from Home Alone is how he, like, intros into the song.
Okay.
Because the song's called Not Afraid. And he goes, I'm not afraid anymore. Do you hear that? I'm not afraid anymore. Do you remember that?
From Home Alone.
Yes, exactly. So it's a song about overcoming fear, and I'm a big fan of it. So here is Not Afraid by Sun Scotty, and we'll be right back here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on WesternNewYorkMusic.com.
100th episode.
Yay.
Hey.
I'm walking with the Lord, I fight my demons like it's Tekken. Me and my pops made up, and if you knew, that's a blessing. New row on the way, Rochambeau avec les. Wow, I'm not afraid anymore, bitch, check it. I'm walking with the Lord, I fight my demons like it's Tekken. Me and my pops made up, and if you knew, that's a blessing. New row on the way, Rochambeau avec les. Yo, I'm in the gym, 5 days, me and my nigga Jay. I'm trying to live like another 30,000 days. At 28, I think I understand my ways, and that's okay. Learn that life is not a race. I'm bound to get it if it is the last thing I would do. I had this vision in compositions in high school, selling candy out of the Bible case, the Lord's work. I was down, but now I'm back. What kind of Lord work? Yo, I'm not afraid anymore, bitch, check it. I'm walking with the Lord, I fight my demons like it's Tekken. Me and my pops made up, and if you knew, that's a blessing. New row on the way, Rochambeau avec les. Wow, I'm not afraid anymore, bitch, check it. I'm walking with the Lord, I fight my demons like it's Tekken. Me and my pops made up, and if you knew, that's a blessing. New row on the way, Rochambeau avec les. Yo, it's still scary, but I keep my wits about me. Came a long way from when my skies were looking cloudy. I ain't afraid to ask for some help. I understand it's gonna be way harder to do this shit by myself. But everything I did, another notch in my belt. And every piece of knowledge I acquire, I use it to death. Almost gave up on life because of self, I think. But I walk with the Lord, belief in self brought me back from the brink. Always knew what I would be, but didn't know how I would be. Trying to figure it out led to me not getting any sleep. Till one day I accepted faith that I wouldn't know a thing. And now I'm feeling great, almost carefree. I know what I gotta do, I'm on a winning spree. It's your make a list, that's how I open doors. They say come and have a chat, see who play for favor. Où est le Jean, huh? Prelascali. Yo, I'm not afraid anymore, bitch, check it. I'm walking with the Lord, I fight my demons like it's Tekken. Me and my pops made up, and if you knew, that's a blessing. New row on the way, Rochambeau avec les. Wow, I'm not afraid anymore.
I'm walking with the Lord, I fight my demons like it's Tekken. Me and my pops made up, and if you knew, that's a blessing. New row on the way, Rochambeau of Eclade, wow.
And we are back here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. That was Not Afraid by Son Scotty. And now we are joined by our guest, Brandon Delmont.
Hello.
Hey, Brandon.
It's great to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us. Yes. Yeah, so what projects are you in right now?
Oh, okay. It's been a great, great couple of years for me. I joke, but I think it's actually kind of true. Rob Lynch, you guys probably know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
Great drummer in Buffalo. Kind of retired, so people started calling me.
You're like, who's a great guy who could fill in this?
Who's a great Rob Lynch replacement? Or, you know, who's the next guy to do it? So thanks, Rob. Although I'd love to see you come back. So anyway, all right, I'm going to go through them. Now, I play drums is my main instrument. So I play in a Beatles cover band or tribute band. I don't know the difference. We don't dress up. We don't wear wigs.
Cover band, I think.
I guess, is it a cover band?
Yeah, I think tribute band, you dress up.
So we just try to sound like the Beatles. And
you do a great job of it.
Thank you. Yes. And that's called Past Masters.
Sure.
And that's a great band, and I love playing with them. And since Rob retired from the Black Rock Beatles, Gino McManus has been calling me for that. And he had me play on their famous rooftop show.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that on the podcast. I was there for that.
Yeah. Oh, that was...
I was talking to you about a show, and then, like, 15 minutes later, the band started. And then you sent me a message, like, the break. And you're like, no, I don't think we can do it. I'll get back to you. And I'm like, no shit.
That's weird.
Yeah, and that was a great show, too. That really was.
Thank you.
That was a ton of fun.
I've been playing with him. I've been doing the... playing drums in a band called Whitetails.
Oh, cool.
Which is a great band. It's John Bobowitz is the. It's really his thing, but he's been getting me and some other people more involved in it. And he was in a band called Child that was pretty big in Buffalo. They were kind of like a stoner rock thing. And I'd urge everyone to check his stuff out. He's amazing, amazing songwriter. Musician.
Did they spell child with a Y in it?
I think they did. I think it was C-H-Y-L-D.
That sounds right.
Yep. And Pat, their bass player, he's playing with Whitetails.
Cool.
And so, you know, it's been cool to like, you know, we've been doing a lot of practicing. We've been doing some shows. What else? What else am I doing? And then, of course, I save the best for last because it's my heart. A House Safe for Tigers. We, you know, that's really like a songwriting. It started really as a recording project, and with myself and Mark Constantino. Really, it's Mark. You know, Mark writes the songs. He does what I can't do, and I do what he can't do. So it's a really nice relationship because I can't write lyrics. I feel like I have nothing to say, and I don't. And Mark has a lot to say, and he can write songs in 2 seconds. But he's not as much of a musician. And so what I do is I play the guitars, the keyboards, the drums. I basically turn his songs into...
songs.
Songs or I flesh it out, produce it, I guess you would say.
Arrange it.
Arrange is probably the best word, yes. Arrange it, and it's really been great. And we've been doing it for a few years now. We have a lot of music out there now. And I never really wanted it to become a live thing. I always wanted it to be a recording project, and it was my way of getting even with all the musicians I played with who would never listen to me. Because it's really hard as a drummer to get your...
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not playing anything that... I mean, you are. I mean, it's very important, but you're not playing anything that can shape a song in a different way. Drums can shape a song in a major way, but...
you know, you're almost the hold steady of it.
Yes.
In that sense, and you're saying as an arranger,
right?
You're bringing you really a whole can,
yeah,
piece.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then playing, you know, so it's made me a way better musician. But we found out if we were going to get anyone to buy the records we were making or listen to them now with streaming and blah, 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 that we had to put a live band together.
Sure.
So we have put some of my favorite people together, and we've been playing shows. Ryan, you've had us on the bill on some shows, which thank you very much.
Oh, of course. You guys are great.
And
so the rest of the band now includes?
Well, we've got my main man, my main man, Tom Dagony's on bass, and I've been in bands with him since high school, and we were in a band called Odie Orn. This interview can get really weird.
Oh, I want to hear all of
yes.
this. This is the fabric of your experience.
I have been in
yes, many, that's my answer to that.
Many, many,
yes.
many, many bands. And
that's why you're here.
And it's all, there's like a family tree.
Oh, that's perfect.
And
he should have drawn it out. That yeah. should have been, you know, come in with
we need to get a whiteboard for this podcast.
It should almost be part of WNYmusic.com that we have that.
There you go.
We do have an archive.
Because we're all connected.
We do have an archive of old local music.
Yeah.
So we have like the Girl Pope and Bobo live show is up there. So we got stuff like that. So
nice.
I'll have you work on the the flow chart for Buffalo Music.
We're halfway through the band.
All right. So Tom Dagonese is our bass player, and I when I asked him to play, I couldn't believe he said yes. So it was really a major win. I got my friend. I got my brother Ralph playing drums. And he used to be in a band called Rocket Ship 7 back in the 90s.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Do you remember that band?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they were great, and I kind of took him out of his retirement and got him back behind the drums. He's been doing great, and I love having him there because he's my brother. And, you know, we wouldn't spend as much time together as we do now, so I get to see him, like, you know. So that I love that. And then we've got Brad Solly. He's famous for working at Guitar Center.
Okay.
Everybody knows Brad from Guitar Center, but he's also a great musician. He's been in a band called Semi Tough, and he's playing keyboards. And he tells me every practice, Brennan, I'm not really a keyboard player. I'm a piano player. I'm like, just play the keyboards.
Right.
Shut up, Brad, and play the keyboards.
It has keys. Play it.
And then we got Joey Tosto playing lead guitar. And before we got him, I was trying to... I had asked my friend Guillermo Esquierdo to play guitar, and he just kind of... I don't know what happened. He had conflicts and stuff. And so it was always my thing to have a good guitar player, not just me as, you know... You know, I'm not really a really skilled,
technical player.
I'm more of a rhythm player. So for a while we were doing it without a lead guitar player, and then once we got my friend Joey Tosto in the band, it just took it to a level of where we were like, wow, we're actually not that bad of a band. And Joey plays with me in Past Masters.
Okay.
And he's been in a bunch of bands. There was the Stamp Lickers, I think, is one. He was in...
All the Amy's Place people.
Yes.
That's exactly
he worked at Amy's Place.
Oh, okay.
Yes. He was, I think he was a cook there. What was I going to say? Joey has brought a How Safe for Tigers live thing to a whole new level.
I had the opportunity to catch you guys at Nietzsche's just a couple
you
weeks
were ago. There?
It was a strange night.
Well, it was very strange.
In
there was a shooting while we were
there
playing.
There was a shooting outside.
Oh, yeah.
As I had just stepped out with Jeff Goldstein to just, you know, catch
the
air.
Oh, you were actually outside when it happened.
It was a terribly frightening moment.
Yeah.
And we didn't realize how very close it was to us, and the shooters had run past Nietzsche's.
Oh,
and
my
I had
gosh.
Actually stopped to ask them, is everyone safe? And they looked at me like, oh, you funny girl, you know.
Were the ones who did it.
I've been telling people for years not to avoid Nietzsche's, not to avoid music in Allentown.
Yeah.
You know, to be out and not let the neighborhood scary, changing, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there was a little bit of like caution in my voice now as I think about that night.
Yeah.
I was glad to be out. you know, Takecha said it was an interesting thing that everything was delayed so far into the night. I know that your set was supposed to have started a bit earlier.
Completely normal for Nietzsche's.
For Nietzsche's, it is,
and I love Nietzsche's, and I've been playing there. The first time I played there was with Girl Pope. I had to use fake ID because they didn't let musicians. They might still do that, but they wouldn't let.
They'll let the musicians, people in now under 21 if they're playing.
At that time they didn't, so I had to use fake ID to actually play there.
Oh,
and
that's terrible.
Yeah, so I love it. I've been playing there forever. I've played a million shows there, but I don't think we're gonna do it anymore. Just because, you know, I can't tell you, we could have actually probably had I wouldn't say a full house, but we could have had a lot of people there. I can't tell you how many texts I got from people who just didn't go because, you know, they're my age and they're like, it's too late for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
which is weird because it cuts both ways now. Post-COVID, with venues closing earlier, your regular bars that would have live music curbing their things earlier, it cuts both ways where people are going to say, oh, it's too late for me to come out. And then the same people are going to bitch about, there's never anything to do late at night.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, it's good. I'll be putting a show together, and like the band that like my headlining band is like, can I play at 9? We just want to play early and get back to our kids. And it's like, I'm not used to people. Like before it was like, I don't want to play first. No one wants to play first. Now it's like, everyone's like, dude, can we just do this and go home and get to bed?
That's what happened to us. We didn't, it was our show. We were the ones who put it together. And I got my friends from Odeorn to open, and that was another band I was in, actually with Tom, the bass player. And that was a great band. We did a lot, actually, but kind of under the radar. But that, like I said, I can go on tangents. But anyway, to finish my point about that, everybody wanted to go on first. Kathy, who I play with in Black Rock Beatles, was in the second band that played, and she had 2 gigs the next day, and she was all worried, and she wanted to, like, so every, and I, we were just too nice, and and said, oh, you guys can go on, and we'll go on last, knowing that it was going to probably be in front of, what's his name, our sound guy, what is his name there?
Toby.
He's a great guy. Toby. Yeah. I love Toby.
Yeah, Toby's a great
Toby
sound guy.
Toby, right? Is
yes,
that?
I think so, yeah.
Toby.
Hey, Toby.
Yes. So,
That other band was, I can't say it because it's in Italian.
Yes,
right?
It's Bacchi Si. I should
wrong.
Be able to say it.
Bacchi Di Sisi.
We gotta cut this part because it's gonna be embarrassing.
No.
Brandon.
Sorry, Dave.
Brandon goes out of his way to not cut the embarrassing parts because I've asked him and they don't.
I'm a good friend to everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bacchi Asici, I think is how you say it. Bacchi
that sounds
Asici.
A lot better than I would have said it.
Yes, and they're great, and we've played with them at Revolution Gallery.
That was what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. That was the only other venue I'd really seen them play to an art kind of room, and to see them walking into Nietzsche's as I got there on the stage, it was a great energy because they are a great energy.
If I would have had my way, they would have went first.
They should have played first.
We would have went second, just to have a better slot, and Odeorn would have went last.
Yeah.
And then I could have got my revenge on Jimmy.
Should have had your way.
Yes. Yeah.
Put your fist down.
You seem like a real nice guy, though, so you let them have their way.
Yeah, we did. We did. Well, you know, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
It was a cool night, though. It was cool for me because, like I said, I played in Odeorn. It was cool to see those guys and hang out with them because we used to have a ball. And we did a lot of touring, so we were in vans together all the time. So,
yeah.
And you know, being in bands is like having girlfriends. You know, it's and when you're not in the band with them anymore, you don't see them as much, or you know, unless you really try to, especially as you get older, because they get kids and blah blah blah. So it was cool to catch up with guys that I actually had one time had spent a lot of time with, and you know.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Joe Urbino's comment from the front corner of Nietzsche's as he was watching the room and these bands playing was, "There's a lot of old Buffalo rock and roll coming up through the woodwork tonight." And he'd say, you know, there's familiar faces that are familiar to me because they were here all the time
back in the day
20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, so, well, Jimmy Chambers from Odeon, he's, you know, really has been a successful musician, and I don't think enough people really know about Jimmy and all his, you know, endeavors, including playing in The Moment, which was an 80s band that Jimmer Phillips was in, who was later in Bobo.
Oh, okay.
In fact, a lot of those songs are Moment songs.
This is where we need the flow chart with the little connecting strings.
And then he was the drummer of Mercury Rev, which is one of my favorite bands of all time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that. And when I was in Odeon, we had actually opened for Mercury Rev a few times. And, you know, some of my, how do you say it, from behind the curtain, kind of like seeing how the other half lives. And what I mean by the other half is the successful musicians.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's wild to hear their stories.
I've had a few moments in my career where I've got to see how the other half lives. And, you know.
Screw those guys.
I had a band called the Stalos.
Oh, yeah.
For a few years. And we actually toured a little bit with Built to Spill. Nothing, five shows here, five shows there. And those guys were excellent. But I remember we were in Boston and it was time to get paid. And we were playing at the Avalon, I think it was called. And they had a ska show. They had two rooms. They had the big room where Built to Spill played.
I think that might have been, that eventually became the Paradise Theater in Boston, if you
look
that way.
I think you're right. It might have even been the Paradise when I played there. I think it was, yeah. So, anyway, they had a big ska show, and they were all the ska bands you've heard of. It was like one of those Boston shows where, like, I don't know, name a ska band.
Boston's Real Big Fish, Less Than Jake.
They were all playing.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the night, there was this, the woman, you know, you're a promoter, you know. The promoter had her office, and we're all lined up. And I was behind, you know, the bass player Built to Spill, and we were just kind of talking. And I was like, looking, and I was like, this is the circus.
Oh, yeah.
This is the circus. You know what I mean? Like, the ringmaster is paying the bearded lady and the elephant trainer and you know, and it wasn't like super appealing to me, you know what I mean? I mean, it was awesome on stage and playing in front of all those people, and there was a lot of really cool things about it, but I think I would probably only last a few years.
Yeah, the business end of it's brutal to just try, even just trying to get paid from show to show when you're touring can be make you want to pound your head into the wall.
Right.
I appreciate your perspective and how you've been able to go out and play, you know, with bands that are nationally touring, bigger building, snowballing acts, and then also being like at Record Theater and being the guy at the counter and being the buyer and being, you know, having that kind of an operation curtail as well. And I'm sure you saw a lot with that end of music business being. And you know, also being a teacher and teaching lessons as a musician. I wonder if you have any fun particular Records Theater. Tell me a tale.
Wow. Oh, geez. I mean, I did that for so long. I have a million stories, and I'm trying to think of one. because, I mean, that, like, you know, it wasn't a great paying job, and it wasn't, you know, but it was amazing because it was like family, friends, you know what I mean? It was just like, it was part of my existence.
Yeah.
You know
absolutely.
Entire culture.
And you just, you know, you get up and you go to work and you deal with these people, these crazy people you work with. And there was a core of us who were there for a long time. And then there were these, you know, other people that, you know, because it's not a great job. So there's a lot of people who came and gone, and a lot of interesting people, a million amazing musicians. It's incredible. And it was really more that, like, the people you worked with.
So the years you spent there would have been what year to what year?
I started in 96, I think. When did Radiohead, The Bends, come out?
About 96.
Yeah. because I remember I kept playing that one on the, like when it was my turn for the
playlist. Damn right.
So I would put that CD in. So I started in 96, and I got laid off when they decided to close. About an hour after they decided they were going to close the stores, I got called in, and they got rid of a few of us that were, you know, in the upper management. And that was in 2017, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I do remember one story, like, you know, because we did a CD trade-ins. And one of the greatest things, this total character came in, had a pile of CDs, trading them in, and then he just couldn't, he had like two or three of them that he just couldn't get rid of. Or
that he brought there with the intention to get rid of?
He's like, and he's like, he said to me, dude, you're never going to see this CD again. You're never going to see this. This is a bootleg of The Wall, but this is the movie music. This is the movie. You're never going to see this again. You're never going to see this, bro. And, and I'm like, all right, I still can only give you $6 for it or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then he just did this great thing between this Bob Dylan CD and this Neil Young CD. And he's like, he didn't want to give either of them up. But he was like, oh, man, Neil Young, Bob Dylan. He's like, oh, you know, all right. And he gives me the Neil Young CD. He goes, Neil forgives. But Bob doesn't. And he took the Bob Dylan CD back, and I think he's right.
That's hilarious.
But it was like, I mean, that kind of, you would meet like characters like that all the time.
We used
to have this letter framed from this guy that he just, you know, told us his whole life story, and I wish I had a copy of it to, you know, I think I do somewhere, and when I find it, I'll email it to you.
Oh, excellent.
But we framed it because it was just like, you know, I went psychedelic in 68 and I bought all these records and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I would have rather had a girlfriend, but, and it just like, you know, went on like that. But
God. A record that he addressed to the record store?
I don't even know why he sent us the letter.
You know? I don't know if he remembers why he sent the letter.
but even the people I worked with, I mean, Lenny Silver was a character, and you know, I had a mixed relationship with him. I loved him and hated him at the same time. But he was my boss. You're supposed to hate your boss, right?
Yes.
I'm using the word hate is kind of
being,
you know, controversial.
I like it, yeah.
But yeah, you know,
tell us what else you think about your boss.
Like
well, he's passed out away, so you know, sorry, Lenny. But
here's what I really thought.
Yeah. Well, I'm sadly we didn't end a long relationship that we had. It ended on a sour note.
Yeah.
And
I actually feel kind of bad about that from time to time when I think about Lenny, and I'm like, I would have been able to resolve that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But
did you walk into that job as a young man just like eager to work in a record store?
Yeah. My friend Brett Essler, who played in a band called MILF.
Right.
He was the drummer. In fact, I have his drum set now.
Oh, nice.
But that's a different story. I went in there because I would shop there in the University Plaza location.
Sure.
And he said, hey, is your brother still looking for a job? And I said, my brother? And I was like, is there a job opening? So, because I had applied there a couple times, and for whatever reason, I hadn't gotten hired. And then this particular time when my brother was going to get hired, I stole it from him. And
good for you.
How does he feel about this?
You know, I think I took a big, huge bullet for him, you know? Like a really big one.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But I was more, I mean, not that he's not a music guy, but I definitely, like, it was more my thing.
Sure.
For sure. But, yeah, so I was a young guy looking for a job, and they hired me, and I never intended for it to be a career. I mean, it was always, like, music. I want to play music. Mm-hmm. I want to be on the other side of the curtain,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
where those guys are. So I always had this, like, I guess, hope of one of the bands going somewhere. But, you know, they never went as far as making a career of it. But I always had that my one foot in there and then one foot in the store. And then every time that I tried to leave, they would promote me. And then I'd be like, oh, okay. And then, you know, so then I Brett ended up quitting. I ended up being the buyer of that store. And then, you know, a few years after that, they promoted me as the head buyer for the whole thing. And I did that for many years. And, you know, does that answer that question?
Or? I think it's a perfectly fair and excellent answer. Yeah,
they, like, it's like the mob. You know, they pull you back in every time you try to get out.
I like that.
Yeah. All right. We are out of time for this interview segment, unfortunately, because I had many other questions.
I could go on forever.
It means we're just going to have to bring you back. Yeah. I mean, sorry. Next. What?
I just wanted to mention really quickly that I listened to your release. You had a solo release last spring.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
uh-huh. The Soul of Adelmon.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
And it was so much soul groove, kind of like... Were you composed the whole thing? You played all the pieces? How did that work?
There's
bass driven things, there's organ music.
Yeah,
like
it was
jazz,
it was weird.
Things.
It all like funk. Like really quickly. I think I'll just say I had COVID.
Was it a COVID project?
I think I did. I think I had COVID. I did two things, and I could be confusing both of them.
Okay.
And I've had COVID twice, which could explain why I can't remember anything. But there's other reasons for that.
iTunes says this release is 7 tracks and it's funk music and it came out in April of 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wrote everything really quickly, mostly I think with just guitar chords. And then, you know, I would have a feel in mind and then I would just lay stuff down and it all just came really quickly. And then I did all the horns on, like, MIDI.
Cool. Yeah.
But then I was like, okay, this sounds too...
Oh, you can't have MIDI horns. It's just...
Exactly. So
it doesn't sound...
Right. So then I got my friend Jim Burgess, who actually plays in The Great Train Robbery. He's a trombone player for them, which is an amazing band.
Oh, yeah.
It takes me back to high school. The Outer Circle Orchestra, and he actually played with Mercury Rev as well, and I had him come over, and, you know, he plays trumpet, so I had him replace the MIDI with real horns.
Right, here's your roadmap, this is what it's got to do.
Yep, yes. And it was really a lot of fun to have him just come over and that I forgot about that release.
It was excellent to listen to while I was doing my chores at home today.
Oh, good.
I was very glad to stumble upon that.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right, sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah, sorry, Ryan.
Jeez, Cassidy, stop doing extra research and bringing insight into these interviews.
Yeah.
Damn it. So, next, we're going to play a Girl Pope song.
Oh.
I tried getting this from Mark Norris, and he told me that there wasn't a digital version of it anywhere available, so I did it myself, and I pulled it off of a record. This was I Was a Teenage Jesus.
Wow. Yeah.
So, and I wish we had time to talk about it a little more. You guys had, for like the late 90s, Girl Pope had really interesting merchandise. I still have. It's a vellum paper, and then underneath it is a burgundy piece of vinyl nailed to a wooden board.
Oh, yeah,
individually numbered. Yeah, right in the middle. There's a hand in the middle of like the album art, so that looks like it's going right through the hand.
Yeah, yeah.
I still have that.
Clever, right?
That is still one of my favorite all-time pieces of like merch from not even like a local band, just from any band. So but like everything else I heard from Girl Pope, like I had a copy of that I could listen to, but not this song until recently. So you can check it out now. It's also available on the westernnewyorkmusic.com archive of old music.
Okay.
All right. So, and then we'll be right back with a game of Girl or Pope here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on westernnewyorkmusic.com.
Every mouth, all the time.
And we are back here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. That was I Was a Teenage Jesus by Girl Pope. So, nice. Brandon, this is a game called Girl or Pope. Sometimes I really got to stretch for these games, I'm not going to lie. So I'm going to name you something just fucking batshit insane, and you have to tell me if it came from a crazy pope or a crazy girl, which would be like a queen.
Okay.
So pope or girl.
Who thought of it? You thought of this?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's been 100 episodes. I'm running really thin right now. Okay. So there's 10 of them. If you get half of them right, if you get 6 right, we have a good prize for you. If you don't, we have a bad prize for you. Okay. They are both wonderful. All right.
Wonderful.
I think so. All right. Number one, was placed into their role in 1032 when they were 12 years old. One historian called them a demon from hell. They had to flee due to an attempted murder, but retook their role 25 years later and then sold it immediately to the highest bidder. Is that a queen or a pope?
I'm going to say it's a pope.
That is a pope. That is Benedict the Ninth.
It has to be, because it's too crazy, you know? It has to be a pope.
Oh, just you wait.
Okay.
All right, number two, spent 3 years sleeping beside a dead family member.
A girl.
That is Queen Juana, the first of Castile.
Also correct.
Erected many statues of themselves and said that pedophilia was no more problematic than rubbing one hand against the other. Girl or pope?
Pope.
Yeah.
Trump.
I'm not even gonna make the jokes like after I'm like yeah, it's a pope. Oh man. Hopefully my parents aren't listening. All right. They had the body of their predecessor dug up and put on trial for perceived crime. After the body was found guilty, they cut 3 fingers on it and threw it into the river of Tibet. Was that a pope or a queen?
I'm going to say it was a queen.
That is a pope.
Oh, wow.
That is Stephen the Sixth. Yes, he had the previous dead pope pulled out of the ground for his crimes and then chopped his fingers off as punishment. That's a crazy-ass pope.
That is...
Didn't they throw him into the Tiber?
It's the Tiber. I said Tibet.
Did say Tibet.
Thank you.
Yeah, rock and roll.
Brandon Conrad on the save.
Thanks, Brandon.
In 1838, it was estimated that 1/5 of the population was killed by the Tangina ordeal, which was a traditional test of innocence where the subject ate 3 chicken skins and then add some poison to see how many chicken skins they threw up. Girl or pope?
Pope?
That is a girl. Oh. That is Queen Ranavalona of Madagascar. Yes, eat 3 pieces of chicken skin and some poison. We will find out if you are evil by how many pieces of chicken you throw up.
Wow. How did you find one website that had all of this? Or?
No, this involved digging. The popes were easier than the queens. The queens were a little hard.
Nothing really to do with you or music or, you know. But
yes, I literally Googled crazy things queens have done. So we're halfway through. I think it's three right, two wrong.
Yeah.
All right. Brandon, you're halfway there.
Could go either way.
All right. Caught wind of a conspiracy against them and had six people arrested, tortured, and ultimately executed. Legend has it they complained to the torturers because the people they were torturing, their screams weren't loud enough. Yeah. Is that a queen or a pope?
That's a queen.
That is a pope. Oh, that is Pope Urban the Sixth.
Terrible.
He had the six people who were arrested, tortured, and executed were all cardinals, too. And this guy was, like, sitting outside the room. He's like, guards, they're not complaining loudly enough. That's fantastic. Okay, 3-3. I mean, it's fantastic now, not back then. Let's just be clear about this.
It being election day, I feel like...
This fits, right?
We haven't really progressed too much further than a little bit. But, you know,
he's all like, bring back the guillotine.
People are getting hit with hammers, you know, that kind of stuff. And
oh, I hope you're ready for this next one. This is one of my favorites.
Okay.
They believed they were made of glass. They said, I'm of a very delicate nature, and it is all made far more complicated due to the fact that I have a grand piano inside me. A grand piano would be bad enough, but this one happens to be made out of glass. Girl or Pope?
Girl.
Yes, that is Queen Emily of Bavaria.
Oh, she's nuts.
Yeah. I have a tiny piano inside me. All right. Bragged about only bathing twice in their whole life. Girl or Pope?
Pope.
That is a girl. That is Queen Isabella of Spain. Are we at 4-4 now?
No. We're at...
5-3? 5-3. All right. There's two left. Just got to get one right.
Okay.
After desperately wanting a son, they screamed that they were given a dark and ugly daughter with black eyes. They referred to her as a monster and tried to kill her several times. They even made her sleep next to the rotting dead body of a dead parent. Girl or Pope?
Well, I'm going to guess girl because, you know, they're having a child. Do popes generally...
In hindsight, this was probably an easy question. Correct!
Yes. But I like the logic.
Lots of children.
Yeah. Yes, wow. Popes have... I did find that out, but yes, that was kind of easy. So you have already won. We're just going to give you the last one anyway because it's fun.
It is.
German ruler Otto of Saxony once wrote to this person saying, everyone accuses you of homicide, perjury, sacrilege, incest with your relatives, including two of your sisters, and with having, like, a pagan... invoked Jupiter, Venus, and other demons. Girl or Pope?
Well, I'm hoping it's a Pope.
That is Pope John the 12th.
Wow.
So, congratulations, Brandon.
You win.
So, we haven't talked about it a whole lot on here. We are releasing a fundraising album as a part of the Struggles Real podcast and as part of our 5-year anniversary, which we just celebrated.
Sweet.
Half the proceeds are going to westernnewyorkmusic.com. The other half are going to plannedparenthood.com if you want to talk about apropos on election day.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want a free copy of the album. So as soon as it's ready, I'll be sending you over a download code for it. It's all music that was recorded for this podcast. It has Stress Dolls, Carmen and Lizzie, Bloodthirsty Vegans, oh my goodness, Trey Ocho,
that's
Pam
cool,
Swartz. High school band is on there because I had something and why not?
And it's exclusive.
Which band?
We were called A New Easy Way.
Mm.
The recording was from a show place in 2000.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
Girl Pope used to play there a lot. In fact, I
never got to see Girl Pope.
One of our first shows, one of our first like big shows, we opened up for Everclear at Showplace. And
my friend was dropped on his head in that show while he was crowd surfing.
No shit.
Yes.
Can we say shit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. I prefer swearing. Yeah.
Yeah. wow. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like someone was like, "Dude, he got dropped on his head," and the whole crowd at once went, "Oh!" And it's like that's how you know it's bad.
Yeah.
Yikes. Awesome. So yes, you want a copy of that album? That'll be available on Bandcamp within the next week or two. I talked to Planned Parenthood like 5 times already. And I'm like, I just need you to say it's okay to use your logo. That's it. Right. And that's it. And we're done. Yeah. Everything's ready. We just need that and we're done. And they're like, I'll look into it. Like,
sure.
I heard that 2 weeks ago. Take my money. Please take my money, Planned Parenthood. All right. On that note, we are going to play There's a Mystery from the new House Safe for Tigers album. Do you have any way you'd like to kind of talk us into this song? Or you just want to say you should listen to it?
Well, I would just say I think Mark wrote a really beautiful song, and we're really proud of it, and I hope people can enjoy it.
Yeah, no. When I was listening, because like I'm like, okay, I'm gonna listen to the album and pick out a song to play, and I heard that, and it's less like I'm gonna listen to the rest of this album, but I don't need to listen to the rest of this album. I think it's a great song, so I'm really happy to have you on here. So we'll be right back for one more.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. A pleasure.
Awesome.
So we're gonna play There's a Mystery by House Saver Tigers. We'll be back for one more quick segment, and we'll be right back here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on WesternNewYorkMusic.com.
Yay.
Hooray! And we're back. Wait, I scrolled too far. And we're back. That was... Oh, we're just going to keep going with this. That was There's a Mystery by House Saver Tigers. And Cassidy, we're out of time. Cassidy, we're out of time.
We are out of time on the 100th episode.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Podcast. No, thanks to all of the people who listen to us and the very few people who correspond with us and tell
us
they're listening to us.
New listeners who've just started listening to us. Maybe I had some people telling me they were listening to old episodes, asking me about interviews that I do remember, but I have to think on to remember, you know, and I love that. I love that there's an archive now of guests that have joined us and many, many different variety of perspective in the music scene. Thank you.
No, like season one was 8 episodes, and then we were like, after those 8, we're like, we're going to start season 2, and then it just never stopped.
Right, we're in season 2.
Yes, this is episodes 9 to 100, at least, is season 2 now. So, Brandon, thank you behind the board for all your help. Thanks to John Galbo for all of his help with production stuff. We've had countless interns, producers, co-hosts that we've had on, just to name a few, Will Webb, Dennis Reed Jr., John Galbo, Nate Nawarda, Mike Sid, Chandler Pozawinski.
You're going to forget people and they're going to be mad at you.
they're gonna get mad at me anyway.
Oh, okay, good.
So I feel like I forgot a band that I planned.
Probably.
I think put a little asterisk on the episode.
Yeah. There'll be something at the very end. It's like, this was the band he forgot.
Yeah.
So join us for episode 101. What will we do next? We're actually going to have a meeting between this episode and the next episode to talk about some potential changes in our formatting. So we'll do some, hopefully we'll have some new stuff for the next 100 episodes to kind of shake it up a little bit. So this episode will probably be coming out like November 15th. So that episode will be coming out December 1st. So check it out then.
Excellent.
Words. And yeah. Do you have anything, Cassidy?
No. Hopefully awesome. We'll be back here recording at our lovely Guitar Factory home.
Yes, thank you, Guitar Factory. It's lovely here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, for Brandon, for Cassidy, for other Brandon, thank you for joining us. I'm Ryan Garnett, and just remember, shit really sucks right now, so just try and be nice to everyone, because we're all struggling right now. So thanks for joining us, and keep on struggling.
Just say what nobody else wants to say to you. Your looks have become a problem.